Welcome to the Portland Christian Center Podcast. This week, we will hear from Pastor Bill Wilson on Light of the World, Dispelling the Darkness. Now here is Pastor Bill.
Merry Christmas to all of you. You look great. Turn to the person next to you and say, you look better than you did last year at this time. Would you do that? Isaiah chapter 9, we welcome those who are online with us this morning. The people walk in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, light has dawned. I'm sure that many of you are like Joy and I. We love taking drives through our neighborhoods in the Portland area to see all the lights. This year seems like there are more people in our neighborhood who put up lights. In fact, I saw that the city that we live in put signs up and said that we're part of the route for the Christmas lights. I never knew that, so I'm glad I put lights up this year and put more up this year than I have in previous years. It just seems like to be the spirit of it, and so part of the tradition for Joy and I is to get in the car and drive around, and we did a few nights ago, and Joy always says, slow down, don't be in such a hurry. And I'm trying to guess which streets I should go up and down and which ones I should avoid. And a couple of years ago, we took our two youngest grandsons, and they were in the back seat, and they were just enamored and taken with all of the lights. It was beautiful. And, you know, some people go all out and put hundreds of lights in the yards and characters and so on. And they just put all the Christmas money goes into the lights in their front yard, I think. So. And our grandson, Caden, who's very precise, he's very analytical, he's very opinionated, and he always wants to win in whatever he does. Perhaps you've met a child like that. And I don't know where he gets it. But anyway, we were driving by a few houses that had a lot of characters from movies and Disney movies and other movies. And he finally shouted out in the backyard, or the back seat, he said, what in the world do those characters have to do with Christmas? I said, I don't know. I have no idea. But I get it. I get it. I get it. You know, maybe you have attempted to outdo the Clark Griswold, who put 25,000 lights up. Joy can't stand that movie. I love it. But he put up 25,000, but did you read about the guy who put 523,000? He put up 25,000 Griswold, but 523,000 lights in his front yard. Wow. There's something about light and Christmas that go together, wouldn't you agree? The beauty of these lights here, the beauty of the lights that our children get to see and participate in, that brief intro all about light, the music of this last weekend. Wow, it's all about light. By the way, we've had some great wins at Portland Christian Center. You just heard a few of them moments ago. Last Sunday was the largest attended gatherings in Portland Christian Center's attendance in 24 months. I think that was fabulous. I was so excited about that. Yeah. And in this very room, Hilltop Academy, which is part of our ministry program to the community through reaching out to young preschoolers, had over 200 parents and family members come to watch the program on Thursday, and that was a huge win. Many of them for the very first time in this sanctuary, and they were so thrilled, and some of you perhaps have come back, but we're so grateful for Director Cindy and all the team members who are part of that. Another win for us is the Blazers won, so that was good. The people walking in darkness, Isaiah 9:2 says, have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, light has dawned. Now, let me set the stage here for those of you who are perhaps not real familiar with the biblical storyline and narrative. The book of Isaiah is one of the prophetic books. There's two forms of prophecy. One form is the forthtelling, which often happens as the scripture talks about people who have a word of encouragement and comfort to you. And we do really appreciate that. I don't know if you've ever experienced this. I hope at least once in your life you'll have somebody come up and you know that God just dropped a word in their heart for you, and you are inspired, encouraged, and comforted by what they have to say. Especially when this is one of the values of being part of a church like this, is that there are godly people here, not super saints, just godly people who love God, and God gives them a word, and you can share it, or they share it with you, and you know, that was just what I needed today. God just put you on my heart, and I felt like I wanted to just give you this encouraging word. We call that forthtelling, I should say. God drops a word. There is the prophecy of foretelling, which talks about the future. And there are moments today when God does give a word about what is coming. Now, I know there's a lot of crazy stuff on the internet, so I'm not talking about that stuff. I'm not talking about the predictions that some people make that are just really weird. I would just say, by the way, test everything with God's word. What does the Bible say? And does it match up? You know, earlier in this year, I was on what we call a prayer tour for the state of Oregon. So for those of you who don't know, I am the overseer for 200 churches and about 650 ministers across the state of Oregon. And every February, we take a tour around the state and we go to smaller communities and we just meet and we pray with leaders. And some groups are maybe 10 people, sometimes we've had 50, and we just come in for about 45, 50 minutes. And we were up in the northern part of the state on the coast, and a minister who is one of our pastors in one of our local churches came up to me, and he said to me, I feel like the Lord's given me a word for you. Now, I don't know how you feel when people do that. If you're like me, I'm okay. Tell me what it is, and then I'll decide whether I want to accept it or not. He said, I feel like the Lord told me to tell you that an opportunity is going to come your way. And here's the word from the Lord. You can accept the opportunity or you can decline the opportunity. It really doesn't matter. Either way is okay. You know, God doesn't always give you two choices, you know. This is what you're going to do. But in this case, he didn't have like a spiritual voice, thus saith the Lord, or anything like that. He was just normal. He came up to me and I know him. And I said, thank you. I called him by name, and I received it, and I put it in my heart. And within days, this is amazing. I wished all my life was like this, but this particular case it was. And within days, the leadership of Portland Christian Center called me and said, we are in transition. Pastor Ray and Linda Noah are leaving to pursue the ministry to Africa and Petrus. We were wondering if you would help us in the transition by accepting pastoral oversight during this time. Now, I already have another job, you know, a full-time job. It's like a real busy job. So here was the deal. God had prepared me in advance with a word from him through one of my brothers in Christ to give me this word. And now I can choose either yes or no, yes or no. And I'm grateful that the door opened, and Joy and I both prayed about it. I talked with the board or the presbytery, which is our leadership of the network, who really work with me. I talked with our executive leadership team, and I said, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? And they all said, if you feel this is right, then go ahead. And so I am here because somebody downloaded a word from the Lord of encouragement, and a door opened. Don't you wish all of life was like that? You know, so I said yes, and here we are. And I had no idea I'd be standing in front of you in December, but it's not a bad deal. I'm enjoying it. I love seeing all of you, and it's great. The reason I bring that up is that the book of Isaiah is a prophetic word from the Lord for God's people. And in chapter 9, you're going to find some prophetic words. They're significant words in the Bible. And perhaps you will have heard some of it before, but I just want you to don't write it off too quickly when you say, oh, it's the Old Testament, it's Isaiah. God sent Isaiah to give a word to people who were in darkness and despair. Now, these were good people in most cases. They were the people of God even. And I've come this morning to reiterate and to reemphasize a message given 700 years before the birth of Christ with specific detail, because I think it is what dispels darkness in the world that we live today. And I would just, from my view, my front room seat, I don't have a big overstuffed lazy board. I just have a couch. That's all joy allows. So I have a couch with a footrest, and I sit there. I'm not just giving, from my perspective, we are living in a dark time. We see it in our city. We see it in our community. We see it in our country. And if you've traveled at all, you see it in the world. People are living in darkness. But listen to what the prophet says here. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, light has dawned. Now that is the stage for the opening of the prophetic word from Isaiah the prophet. And now I want you to skip down, because in the context of this, throughout the whole book, he's talking about the salvation that God is sending, the hope that God is sending, the joy that God is sending, the peace that God is sending. And then if you drop down to verse number 6-7, and I don't think you'll see this on the screen, so either trust me or open your Bible and look. It says, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest upon his shoulders, and he will be called," and here's the great lines, "Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace," and goes on to say, "His government and its peace will never end." Hallelujah. "He will rule with fairness and justice," amen, "from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity." I can't wait. "The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen." This is a prophecy of Jesus' birth. This is a prophecy for us today, because he's addressing the darkness that you and I are experiencing. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. We're entering into the longest nights of the year, and I gotta say, I don't vote for it at all. I hate getting up, getting into my vehicle, and heading out to my office in the dark. I hate getting out of my office, into my car, driving home in the dark. I don't like the short days and the long nights. But isn't it interesting that in the short days and the long nights of where we live, Christmas reminds us of the light of the world. It's a glorious light, a light that cannot be quenched. If you fast forward to the books of Luke chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 2, there you see the glorious light revealed again and a fulfillment of a prophecy that took place 700 years before. The angels and their dazzling light show in the sky announcing the birth of the Christ. The shepherds seeing that light show and going to Bethlehem and seeing the Christ child. And the wise men for months, everybody say months. In spite of what you see in the Christmas picture, they weren't quite there the day of the birth. But months later, following a bright star in the sky and coming across the Savior as a young boy, it's all built around light and how significant it is. And this is the reason, as the songwriter, it's a passé now, but it's really the reason for the season. Because Jesus restates this in chapter 12. He had already said it in chapter 8 and chapter 9 of John. But in chapter 12, I'm moving through the Bible now, so stay with me. A narrative that just goes all the way. The theme is there from Genesis to Revelation. He says in verse 46 of John 12, "I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in," what does it say? Darkness. You see the theme all the way from the fall of man in the book of Genesis to the revelation of who Jesus Christ really is in the final book of the Bible. There's this theme, this rhythm through the Bible of light, and it represents God Almighty, and it's represented in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It makes a difference. It dispels the darkness. When I read these verses, I couldn't help but think of my friend Jerry, who never met his birth parents, and some of you here perhaps have never met your birth parents. He grew up in the foster care system here in Oregon. And Jerry, to my shock, my sister has raised 100 foster kids, but to my shock, Jerry said, I have 500 brothers and sisters. That means one family have ministered and cared for 500 different children, some for long periods of time, some for very short periods of time. Jerry says, I have 500 brothers and sisters. Jerry, when he got old enough to go out on his own, made a lot of terrible, terrible decisions and mistakes. And he became a crackhead. And he was in such dire need that they ended up picking him up off the street, putting him in an ambulance, and driving him to the Oregon City Hospital up on the hill. And there he was admitted, and they checked his vital signs, they checked his blood, and they said there was more meth in his blood than anything else. He was laying as a young man in his bed, dying. And what happened next, he would never forget. And I don't want you to ever forget what is said here in the book of Isaiah. There were people who were in darkness, but then came a great light. I've asked myself, what causes darkness in our lives? What brings us to these places where, we just don't want to get out of bed? We don't want to face the world. We don't feel like it's worth the effort. We don't not only want to get out of bed, we don't even want to make, I'm not taking a poll how many made your bed, but it don't even make our bed. We want to throw in the towel. If we could find one, we'd throw it in. Days are dark. And we have been dealing with dark days, and perhaps you have. And if you're here, you're not by accident this morning. Job, perhaps some theologians feel the first book that was ever really actually written in the Bible, although it's not the first book of the Bible in our Bibles. Job wrote in Job 30, in his moment of darkness, I hoped for happiness and light, but trouble and darkness came instead. There are some of you here this morning that have come and you were hoping for happiness and light in your life, but you find yourself in trouble and in darkness. If you live in Barrow, Alaska, north of the Arctic Circle, that's not a restaurant, by the way, the Arctic Circle, 330, you'll get it later, 330 miles north of the Arctic Circle. Between the month of November and the day 18th to January the 23rd, November 18th to January 23rd, it's completely dark for that entire period of time. My great uncle served in the same capacity as I do in Oregon, in the state of Alaska. He was the first, what we call, superintendent of the Assemblies of God in Alaska. And he used to say, I remember at family gatherings when we talk about Alaska, because we were all the new frontier, he said the people who live in the North Country struggle during those months of the year with depression and emotional and physical exhaustion because they long, their body longs, their spirit longs, their mind longs, their eyes long for light. What causes us to live in darkness? Things that come our way. I'm going to just give you four. There are many things, but four. Darkness can come into your life when you're disappointed. Disappointed. Things don't work out as you had thought they would work out. Can you imagine Mary when she found out that she was expecting the Messiah and overwhelmed as a young teenage girl who had been selected by God to bear the Son called Jesus Christ? Can you imagine how disappointed she was when Joseph took her to the stable instead of the Ritz-Carlton? She would have settled for Motel 6 or even that Capitol Highway Hill motel out here on Capitol Highway. She may have even tried that. She gave birth in a stable. How disappointing. And some of you here this morning have been living in a lot of disappointment. And in disappointment comes darkness. That's one cause. Darkness. David said in his moment, I cried desperately for help, but still it does not come. Here's the second reason is darkness will come through distress. Through distress. When you feel stressed out, overwhelmed, and stretched beyond your resource, when you feel like you have too much to do and not enough time to do it. There's too much to pay and not enough money to pay it. Too much to accomplish and not enough energy to accomplish it. And Mary, no doubt, felt this same way. When Joseph said, we've got to go to Bethlehem. From Nazareth to Bethlehem is 70 miles. I've ridden it on a bus and it's not very comfortable. She rode it on a donkey. To put that into perspective today, if we were to get on a donkey and ride to Albany, Oregon, doesn't that sound like fun? And if you're pregnant, ready to give birth, it doesn't sound like fun at all. And that's what she faced. Moment of distress. Have you ever felt that way? Overwhelmed and overloaded? And some of you feel that way right now. Everybody's looking to you to solve everybody's problems. Everybody's expecting you to have the answer. You look at the list of things to do on your refrigerator and you want to go into the bathroom, shut the door, turn on the fan and scream as loud as you can because you just feel overwhelmed. It's starting to drain you. You feel like you're in a dark room. Darkness comes when we feel distress. Darkness comes when we feel doubt. Doubt. You feel like you've lost your way and you wonder, how am I going to get from here to there? John 12, 35. This is what Jesus said about this. He said, the man who walks in the dark does not know where he's going. Isn't that interesting? He's not just talking about taking a walk through your neighborhood with all the lights out. He's talking about not knowing spiritually where you're going, to being in the dark when it comes to who God is and what he's done for you. And I want to say to some of you here this morning, you're religious, fine. But do you have a relationship with Jesus? And if you do not have a relationship with him, you're walking in the dark. And that's what Jesus is saying in John chapter 12. Darkness can also come not only from disappointment and distress and doubt, but darkness can come into your life in depression. It comes through depression. You feel like everything's caving in. You just want to give up. Winston Churchill, the Prime Minister of Great Britain during World War II, one day said this. He said, the light has gone out in Europe. In other words, there's a great heavy depression. My mother-in-law once told me that she went to go to work when she lived in Great Britain during World War II, and her friend shouted out from across the street as she was walking, where are you going, Flo? She said, I'm going to work. She said, go home. There is no work. It was bombed out last night. There's nothing. And although the cost of goods in America has gone up substantially and we're all complaining, we fill up the gas tank and it costs more than the car, and we go to the store and look at the prices and all of the things just overwhelm us and things cost twice as much. My electric bill, I can't get over it. I use less electricity this year and it costs more than last year. We feel that. And these things can bring moments of great loss and depression into our lives. So the pandemic, for example, unable to meet together as a church for 8 months, coming back and seeing that some of our friends have departed, they've relocated, they've moved away, some of them passed away during this time, the loss of our pastor that we deeply loved, those things not only affect me individually, but they affect us corporately. And we've come through that time, and it could cause depression, great, great hopelessness and despair. Do you know that 1 in 3, according to Boston University, 1 in 3 adults in America today are suffering from depression? And there is an issue here. The light has gone out. So I told some of you that when our daughter Kimberly was in high school, She went to Westside Christian High School, and every winter they did a big formal event, and it was like the big deal of the year, you know. So the arrangements were that I would come home from the office here at Portland Christian Center, and I would pick her up at the time that was given me, and I would drive her to the school, and she'd be all decked out in her formal dress, and you know, hair was right, makeup. You get the picture? Are you with me? Do I need to describe more? No, okay. And so, you know, I was the good father. I was going to do that. So I left the office. It was early evening, and I drove into our neighborhood. And I'm not the smartest tack in the room, but I did recognize that when I drove into the neighborhood, it looked darker than normal. And then I realized the streetlights weren't working. So on Nyberg Lane, there's some fields and a park, and I was looking up at the house. I was checking, what's going on? And then I realized there were no lights in the houses. So as a dad of a teenage daughter, I began to prepare myself in advance for what I was about to experience. Now, every time I use Kimberly, you all know that I have to pay her something. Tomorrow's her birthday, so I'm taking her to dinner, so I have plenty of liberty here, and I'll pay. So I drove up to our neighborhood, and it was darker than I had ever seen it before. It seemed to me my headlights of my car were illuminating the street, so I found myself into the driveway. And as I drove into the driveway and turned off the car and got out of the car, I heard the window from her bedroom open, and I heard her shout, "Dad, we have no electricity. You've got to fix it." Don't you love it when your children think you're smarter and wiser and more capable than you really are? There she was, the biggest night of her school year, with no electricity. And what was she going to do? She said, "Dad, fix it." She was in the dark. We got it all worked out, by the way. I didn't fix the electricity, but I took her to a place where they had electricity. And sometimes I feel like in these moments like we've been in right now, I feel like crying out to God, "God, I'm in the dark. You've got to fix this." And God does fix it. For the people who are walking in darkness have seen a great light. As the world is saying, "Turn out the lights, the party is over," the Christian steps up and says, "No, no, 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 no. The party has just begun. The Savior of the world has come into our world. He's come with bright light. He is the answer to every need that I have. He's come to dispel the darkness in your life and in your soul. The stuff that you've struggled with, the stuff that brings you down and depresses and discourages you. Jesus, the light of the world, has come to dispel that if you will allow him to turn on the light in your life. I give you examples. The people walking in darkness have seen the great light. The prophet is prophetically declaring that Jesus will come and he will turn on the light. Even to the Gentiles in that chapter, it says, not only to the Jew, but to the Gentile, which was a revolutionary thought. Who would have thought that a Gentile, somebody like me, not the people in Neve Shalom, but people like me, who could know a living God and follow him, the people walking in darkness. And Jesus said, "I have come," in chapter 12 of John, verse 46, "I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." So I thought about it. Here's four things to remember. And then I'll tell you about Jerry, because I know you're wondering, what happened to Jerry? Four things to remember. Remember this. When I'm disappointed, Jesus is there to encourage me. "I have come," he says. Jesus says, "I have come." And one of the reasons that Jesus came was to not only transform you, to be your daily encouragement. You don't have to go it alone. One of my friends who was an alcoholic for 44 years, he lost everything, and he came to know Jesus, and he said to me, Kurt is his name, and I've mentioned him before, "My companion in life is Jesus Christ. Every morning when I wake up, I know he's there, and he goes with me wherever I go." Some of you have had a year that's been tough. You've been disappointed. There have been no promotions. The project was delayed. Your dreams were dashed But I want to encourage you this morning that Jesus Christ has come as light to help you and to encourage you. He has a plan for your life. A friend of mine lost their job, had a couple of interviews in the last year, thinking one of them was going to be it, only to get the call to say, listen, we've selected somebody else, and nothing happened. They sat at home, they went on every website trying to find a job that would fit their skill sets, and one day out of the blue, they got an email saying, your name came to our attention. They say to me, you know, in my great disappointment, God had a plan much bigger than me. When I'm discouraged, Jesus is my encouragement. Here's the second thing that I want you to remember. When I am distressed, Jesus strengthens me. He said, I come into the world as light. Light strengthens you. It encourages you. Jesus came as light. He provides strength for you in whatever you're facing. Remember that this Christmas. David said, God is my refuge and strength and ever-present help in the time of trouble. Let me read that again. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in time of trouble. Paul the Apostle, years later, would write, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And in my moment of distress, I am reminded that the power of Jesus Christ can live with me and live with you and live with us as a church and strengthen us to get us through what some consider the darkest days in our lifetime. Distressed, I've experienced it, you have as well. He is our light. He gives us 365 fear nots in the Bible, one for every day, just to remind us, here, I'm with you. I'm strengthening you. I will cheer you on. When I am doubtful, Jesus guides me. I have come into the world as a light. The light guides. As you know, I travel quite a bit, Joy and I together. We've gone places. And I always put the address into the GPS. Thank God for GPS. And on one occasion, we were out in rural Oregon. I'd never been there before. Went down a road. I wasn't sure I was going the right way. GPS said, take a left. I took a left. Joy said, there's the church. I said, the GPS just told me to go another mile. She said, no, there's the church. I said, wife, GPS, wife, GPS. GPS said, go one more mile. So at the end of the road, one more mile, when we hit gravel and realized we were going to nowhere, I apologized and said, Joy, you're the best guide I've ever had in my life. She's better than GPS. And as we face 21 and close it up and go into 2022, I can assure you, you're going to face something, okay? Come real close. You're not going to be left out. Something's going to come your way, and you're going to need guidance. You're going to know, do I do this or not? You're going to want that pastor up from the coastal section to come and give you a word from the Lord. You're going to say, okay, Lord, what do I do now? Where do I go from here? And I'm assuring you this morning, light of the world, Jesus will give you a guide. And finally, I would just like to say this. When I'm depressed, it's not my nature, but when I'm depressed, Jesus changes me. Verse 46, Jesus said again in John 12, so that no one who believes in me should stay in the dark. Now, I would underline that in my Bible. I would make that a life verse as I go into 2022, that no one who believes in me should stay in the dark. No one who believes in me should stay in the dark. In this season, when we know that our neighbors, our coworkers, our family members who we'll gather with, that one in three probably have gone through depression. I know some of you have. It's real. But I'm here to tell you that God will give you not just a pat on the back and say, cheer up. He will actually come and change the way you think. God changes our hearts, and that heart change will help us in the way we think. And so 1 John 2:8 says, for the darkness is coming to pass away, and the real light is already shining. The prophet Isaiah said, the people have seen a great light. John, the beloved, hundreds of years later said, "For the darkness is passing away and the real light is already shining." Jesus is the fulfillment of what the prophet had said. Oh, back to my friend Jerry. While he's in the Oregon City Hospital, this is phenomenal. This is how God works. He's in the hospital. His bloodstream is filled with meth. He's about to die. A little lady comes into his room. She has a Bible in her hand. She walks over to him and takes him by the hand. And she reads some scripture to him. And then she prays over him. And she tells Jerry, "Jerry, you need to get right with God and give your life to Jesus so he can heal your body." And Jerry, in his state, gives a prayer. And immediately, he is welcomed into the kingdom of God as a Christian. The doctors come and check him. This is Jerry's testimony to me. His bloodstream became normal. Now, those of you in the medical field understand, this doesn't normally happen. God stepped into that room and totally healed him. And Jerry's life was changed. The darkness that he'd lived in went out and the light came on. Now today, Jerry has never married. He has given his life to ministering to young men, troubled young men, and teaching them life skills and teaching them about Jesus. Every Friday, he takes them to a Bible study and he prays with these young men who've lived on the streets of Clackamas County. He works with them, those under the bridge, and this guy is a saint. You say, how did that happen? The darkness faded because the light of the world came into his life. Isaiah 9:2, the people, it says, walking in darkness have seen a great light. And on those living in the land of deep darkness, light has dawned, or light has come. In 1999, a British minister, in Great Britain, Tim Hughes, was reading the lines of Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 describes Jesus leaving heaven, his heavenly throne, and coming down to earth as a baby, as a man, for the purpose of bearing your sin and my sin. It says he humbled himself and became as a man to bear the dark sins of your life and mine, to go to a cross, all because he loved us and to inspire us to live for him and to give us a way to live for him and turn our darkness into light. He was so inspired when he read that, he sat down and he wrote these words. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. Altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful for me. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow. Would you stand with me? Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. I'll never know. I'll never know how much it costs to see my
Once again now I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross.
It causes me to sing,
here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. Altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
And so the darkness came into the world because of sin. It became very dark. And God spoke to the prophet Isaiah and said, go tell the people that the darkness is going to fade and they will see the light. And he lit a candle and it became light to the world. Jesus Christ came into the world to dispel the darkness of our lives. And you choose to accept the light or not to accept it. I pray a prayer, and I encourage you to pray with me this simple prayer this morning. Gracious Father, thank you for sending Jesus, the light of the world. Thank you for sending him to sacrifice his life that I may be free. Thank you in my moments of distress and disappointment, in my moments of doubt and depression, you have an answer, and his name is Jesus. I give you my life. Would you pray this prayer aloud? Dear Heavenly Father, I give you my life today. Forgive me of my sin. And from this day forward, I will follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you'd like to hear more or learn more about us, visit our website at pcctoday.com. Or join us for our live streams at the 9 or 11 a.m. at live.pcctoday.com.